Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button today to Edge God In, to your words, thoughts, deeds, and action. Let's face it, there's enough of edging God out, which is also another way of saying the ego is driving the bus. So welcome today for another message to be able to champion our human potential in Christ more today than yesterday. If you haven't already done so, go to your app and look up on your podcast app and look up Edge God In and subscribe. Then you will be able to get the reminders of when we release a new message for you to be able to help you champion your human potential in Christ, which we do pretty consistently every Friday. It's either myself, I'm Lauren E. Miller, or my co-host, Dr. Estella Chavu. And we usually alternate. Sometimes we'll go back to back. There are many different messages at edgegodin.com. That's another resource for you to visit our website. We have lots of different messages, lots of different podcasts available, pretty much covering almost any emotion and situation that you might experience in Earth School. So have at it. There are lots of different solutions and fun podcasts with fun stress relief tools, as well as guidance from the scripture to be able to help you take off and put aside the things of the flesh that cause us so much anxiety and worry and self-doubt, and really fling us into the fire and give us the opportunity, if we choose to be awake within the fire, as we learned from our last podcast, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or known in VeggieTales as Rack, Shack, and Benny, on how to really trust God, up our trust factor of allowing God to guide us through difficult times. Today's topic is one that, and all of these topics, just to be transparent, come from our own walk with the Lord and things that we're getting tripped up on out here in Earth School. And so we figure, hey, if I'm getting tripped up on this, perhaps there's somebody else that can use a little guidance in this area as well. Today's topic, or the title of today's topic or podcast, is entitled, Are You Divided Against Yourself? Ooh. Are you divided against yourself? Because anything divided against itself, as Jesus said, will eventually fall. We're going to learn about what that means today. We're also going to learn how to respond to Jesus' invitation for you to be undivided in your faith walk with God, and the positive ramifications of living an undivided life and faith walk. So oftentimes, and I often use EFT, emotional freedom technique, which is a very powerful stress relief technique in my own life personally, as well as training up my clients in that very effective tool. Basically what EFT does, the emotional freedom technique, is it calms the disruption in your body due to feelings of being threatened by something outside of you. And when you feel threatened by anything outside of you, and it could be threatened by yourself, right? Because oftentimes we scare ourselves at night by fortune telling or worrying. And another definition of worry is it's a story that you tell yourself, and this comes from Clarity Lights on Leadership program. It's a story that you tell yourself about something that's going to happen in the future. Cool thing is you can change the story that you tell yourself. When you worry, you're telling yourself a story that hasn't happened yet, but you're really asking for trouble. Anytime that you worry or I worry, we're projecting a possible negative outcome into the future that hasn't even occurred. So it's almost like we're inviting it in, which we are. We're literally opening up a doorway for Satan to mess with our minds when we are worrying about something and we're divided, right? It's like, I trust you, God. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Wow. How many times have we just flipped back and forth from, I do trust you, I don't trust you. It's kind of like the ask from the man that was healed by Jesus eventually, but before he was healed, Jesus said, if you can, because he was doubting. And Jesus noticed when we believed, but we needed help with our unbelief, which was the request of the man who was healed. I believe, help my unbelief. And when we have that unbelief, that's part of being divided against ourselves. On the one hand, yeah, I do trust God. Do you trust God? How do you know if you truly, truly, deeply trust that God's got your back? Well, one of the key factors will be your sense of worry and anxiety about the future will definitely drop. Because the older you get, the more files you will have that shows that God is in fact faithful. And when you do trust in him, he will provide a way out from anything that you're going through during this journey of life. So let's jump into this very inviting topic. And I will say, as I studied this myself and continue to kind of pull this in and transfer the learning into behavior, it really is a game changer when you up your game in looking around inside the castle into all those rooms where you're divided. You're saying one thing, you're doing another. You're believing one thing, yet your body is not backing up that belief because you're experiencing stress and anxiety. So if you had identified with anything I've spoken so far, then stick with us, because this is a podcast specifically for you to set you free. One of our foundational verses at Edge Got In is Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. That verse indicates a choice point. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and don't allow. That means we can allow. So what are you allowing to divide you in your life? Divide your time, divide your focus, divide your mission, divide your quiet time with God, divide your highest values. What's causing you to live a divided life inside? Jesus calls us to unity within. Really, he invites us to that sense of incredible unity within. What threatens our relationship with God and our ability to stay on mission with him? What is it that threatens our relationship with God and our ability to stay on mission with him? What is the biggest thing, would you imagine? One of the biggest things that you would imagine that threatens your ability to remain in relationship with God and to stay on mission with him? It's division. And Satan knows it. Division threatens our relationship with God, our ability to be productive for him, to be his ambassadors, and to stay on mission with him. Having a divided heart, a divided mind. This is spoken about many times in the New Testament. We're just going to reflect on a few scriptures today to really make our point and to breathe life into our learning objective, which is to learn how to respond to Jesus' invitation for you to be undivided in your faith walk with God, so that you can live a more empowered life. Well, let's jump in with the help of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we give this podcast to you. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight for the edification of everyone on this phone call today. You know what concerns the hearts of every person who's listening in today. You know what's burdening them, what's slowing them down. You know what's divided. And you also know how to create unity and restoration. Give us the grace of attentiveness as we're listening in today. I pray for the listeners that the Holy Spirit would bump their heart to pause, to camp on whatever thought, whatever word, whatever spoken word, whatever written word, that you speak into their life today. There's a reason why they're tuning into this podcast today. So I pray that I do a good job of being a pencil in your hand, that you would write your message of unity, of your love within their hearts, and be able to clear up some of the confusion that comes when we are divided against ourselves. Give us a clear understanding of the mission for which our heart beats today. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's jump into Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, 24. And we will continue to read through Matthew chapter 12. And this is a story that perhaps you've overlooked before, but are familiar with. Maybe not. Matthew 12, verse 22. So this is during Jesus' mission. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Now, I can't even imagine calling Jesus, "Hey, fellow," but you could just see by the word choice here, they weren't thinking much of Jesus, and Jesus knew it, right? Yet the cool thing about Jesus, and he offers us the same freedom, by the way, is that it is spoken of Jesus that he wasn't confined by two things that cause us a lot of division within our own minds. And that is, he wasn't confined by status or the opinions of other people. And many times we'll live a divided life, a divided mind, because we want one thing, we do another. Or we know what God calls us to do, but we choose to move against it in life. And so here Jesus was doing something pretty darn radical, and it's something that's not first go around here. Jesus was healing on the Sabbath, and he was breaking a rule, right, in their minds because of their filter. Now, in Sherpa Executive Coaching, we refer to filters as your knowledge, experience, and values that influence how you listen, think, and communicate. Your knowledge, experience, and values that influence how you listen, think, and communicate. What are your filters in your life that hold you back from being divided, that hold you back from being united with Christ and not living a divided life, that create unity and purpose, clarity of focus, keeping your eyes fixed in front of you, not moving to the right or to the left, that's being divided, so that you can hear the voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." We all have filters, and filters directly impact and influence how we listen, think, and communicate. Now, it was the case for the Pharisees as well. They had knowledge, experience, and values that were influencing their perceptions of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This fellow was driving out demons by demons, according to their filters, right? Now, Jesus knew all this. He didn't allow himself to rise and fall depending upon judgments. He just headed right in. He calls us to do the same. In the midst of division, to speak truth. When you speak truth in the midst of darkness, then clarity leads your way. And he did this, so he jumps in here. Jesus knew their thoughts, right? Jesus always knows our thoughts. It's kind of scary, huh? Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will stand." Will not stand. So we can even add something here. Every person divided against themselves, which is the title today. Are you divided against yourself? Any person divided against himself, herself. Any city divided or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? But if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive out them? So then, they will be your judges. But, it's another big transitional but, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possession unless he first ties up a strong man? Then he can rob his house. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. What is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Lack of belief. I don't, and exactly what they were doing in this situation. No, you belong to Satan. It's attributing the things of God to Satan. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. This is the work of Almighty God. And the Pharisees attributed that work to Satan. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For the tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So the first coaching question on today's topic is this. How do your words showcase your love for Christ? How does your intonation reflect the pleasant presence of Christ within you? How do you make God recognizable? By your choice of words. One area, big area of division that's occurring, and I'm totally guilty of this, is that we will say with our mouth, oh, I love God. But then out of the same mouth come cursing toward man. Now, this was spoken about with James. Peter mentions a version of it. John mentions a version of it. This is a theme that has this anchor in living the divided life against yourself. And it comes against yourself, as Jesus said at the end. You'll be held accountable for every word that you spoke, that I spoke, that has been against God. What is a word that's against God? Cutting other people down. You cannot love God and cut your brother or sister down. You cannot love God and say mean things, ugly things, shaming things, belittling things, unkind words to your brother or sister in Christ, to mankind in general, because by your words you'll be judged. There are so many times when something slips out of my mouth and bam, I have a conviction. Holy crap. I don't want to be held accountable for that phrase. Ask the Holy Spirit. Give the Holy Spirit permission. In fact, let's do that right now. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to convict our hearts every time we are divided in our affections for you. And every time that division expresses itself in ugly talk or ugly behavior toward any human being, we give you permission to override us when our own envy and selfish ambition, as we learned about in last podcast, starts to drive our bus in life. Because where there is envy and selfish ambition, as James says, there is every kind of disorder and evil. And we're seeing a lot of that, Lord. So override us. We don't want to play that game. We want to be unified in you, so much so that when we stand before you, our colors are clear. We are not doing one thing and saying another. We are not saying one thing and doing another. We are known by our colors. Our colors are clear before you. Help us to do that more today than yesterday, Jesus. Help us to return quicker today than yesterday when we do become divided, because we get hijacked by the shiny objects outside of us and then boom, we just spill out of ourselves. Help us to return quicker today than yesterday. In your most precious name we pray, amen. This takes divine wisdom, my brothers and sisters in Christ, because there are so many shiny objects out there that all of a sudden you're just walking along, had a great talk with God, feeling light, feeling connected, and bam, Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking to devour you. And someone says something, has a facial expression, someone doesn't do something that you expected them to do, and you are spun so much so that you become divided, even though you love God. Ugly talk starts coming out of your mouth. Perhaps it's gossip. Perhaps it's ugly talk towards yourself. Now it says you'll be held accountable for every thoughtless word spoken. That's a blanket statement. So let's make that personal first, because as Jesus said, you can't give out what you haven't mastered within. What's your inner talk like these days? What are you saying to yourself? What words or phrases are you giving free rent to that Satan has planted that you've decided to camp on and giving power to that thought or that belief? Therefore, it's creating more negative words. Be aware of that. Ask for the strength to speak positivity into your soul. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you that all things are possible for me. Thank you, God, for blessing me this day, for expanding my territory, for protecting me from deception. Thank you, God, that you are going before me, you're behind me, you're within me and around me, like a fish swimming through water. Thank you, God, that I am protected and led by you today. Thank you that you love me. I'm willing to open myself up to be able to receive more of that love. Thank you that you adore me today. Help me to give that same gift to those around me. Speak positivity so that your love for God is united with your behavior and your words. This is the invitation today. Is your behavior and the words you use aligned and could back up evidence that demands a verdict? You love God and you are serving him. So this is just a little tune-up podcast for us to ask the Holy Spirit, go ahead. Sift me, bump me as soon as an unkind word comes out of my thought life toward myself or out of my mouth toward another human being. I do not want to be divided against myself. Think about what you're thinking about as you go through life. That's called metacognition in neuroscience. It gives you the ability to step off the stage of the drama and to see what is really going on here. In fact, that's a coaching question you can ask yourself the next time you're spun. What's this really about? Many times it's linked to a fear. What am I afraid of? Well, I'm afraid people won't validate me. I'm afraid that people will overlook me. I'm afraid I won't be able to handle this. I'm afraid I might die, in my case, when I was going through advanced cancer. Be aware of what the fears are, because then you can toss those into the lap of Christ and ask for that strength. So let's pull this through a little bit more. So we just read in Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through, and you can see this at edgegodin.com, by the way. It's posted under the podcast through 37, 22 through 37. For every podcast, by the way, there, if you go to edgegodin.com, there are resources with that podcast, including a one sheet that you can print out to capture your learnings and transfer it. And as I mentioned in other podcasts, there are many groups that are actually using these podcasts to do focused Bible studies. And they use the one sheet to print out to capture the learnings, to have a discussion, to edify one another over the topic. So feel free to do the same. Let's jump to James 3, 9 through 12. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. With it, we curse human beings. Division right there. Satan is in the corner. Yay, I gotcha. With it, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings. So just pausing for a minute, over the last week or two, have you cursed a human being? And cursing can come in many forms. It could be the silent judgment type. You don't say anything, but man, you are just feeling animosity towards someone, and you can feel it slithering up inside of you. It could be the verbal kind of cursing human beings. You can just spill out over your mouth. You can just let it rip. Maybe it's a verbal statement that you made towards someone. Maybe you lost it, snapped at your kids and said something that was from your own anger or frustration or exhaustion. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And when it happens, how quickly can you return? I remember so many times getting on my knees with my kids and asking them to come and pray for me because I was having a tough day and I needed God's strength to be kind, to be loving. Don't miss those opportunities to witness for your kids. Humility. I can't do this on my own. I need help. Pray for me. So we curse human beings and we bless the Father. Shouldn't be so, as James says. Who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a spring, salt spring, produce fresh water. And so he just gives us that visual again of division. Believing one thing, praising God, saying another. So again, coming back to that coaching question for today's topic, does your behavior and your words align with your love for God or witness to your love for God? It's interesting in James here. Come with me on this one. James 3, 9 through 12. After he sets this up talks about, hey, listen, praise and cursing should not come out of the same mouth. It's basically, you can't have fresh water and salt water together. Don't be divided. It's an invitation to be united in Christ. And then he goes on to talk about wisdom. So there's obviously a connection here between mastering your mind and your thoughts and your words and your actions and being unified in Christ in order to make that mastery possible. As you progress in that, wisdom is a ramification. Because he goes on in verse 13 to say, two kinds of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from God. But, and this is the first he starts to get into the first kind of wisdom. If you harbor bitter and envy, some selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly and spiritual. And he goes so far as to say, demonic. What's demonic? Envy and selfish ambition. Has many different expressions. How does it show up for you? It could be something very simple. Someone gets something that you wanted, and all of a sudden you feel vexed inside. You feel tight inside, restricted, small. I should have gotten that. They didn't deserve that. They didn't work as hard as I did. Selfish ambition. That can be have your priorities hijacked. I don't have time for my family because I'm out there making money for my family, right? But really? Selfish ambition can rob you of the greatest joys in life and overlooking people, putting things above people instead of people before things. Watch out for it. It's a slippery little serpent. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but it's earthly and spiritual and demonic. First kind of wisdom he talks about. Not the kind you want to go for, just saying. Then he even nails it, and we talked about this two podcasts ago, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. Absolutely you do. We're seeing it all over the place. Second kind of wisdom. But, this is another key but, shift. Lean in when you see those powerful buts. When the author says one thing, and then there's that but, here's the solution. This is what I want you to focus on. Lean into this. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Wise conduct, being unified, united in Christ, one with Christ, walks through the archway of humility. Blessed are the meek, the humble, for they shall see God. You want to see God? Stay small, humble. Lord, I can't handle this. You can. Lord, help me to respond and love my neighbor as myself, because you know what? I can't. I feel like punching this person right now. So I need some help. Help me, Lord. Seek, ask, knock. God adores you. He does not want to leave you empty-handed. The problem comes when we try to accomplish what we want in our own efforts. And God will let us go because of our will, our free will, until we fall on our faces. And then he'll say, are you done yet? Come closer. There's an easier way to go about this. The quality of the harvest is in direct proportion to the quality of the sowing. The quality of the harvest is in direct proportion to the quality of the sowing. As in the book of James, it says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So my coaching question to you is, what are you sowing? What seeds are you sowing? If you sow peace, you get peace. Love, more love. Kindness, kindness. Mercy, mercy. On the flip side, you sow hatred, you get hatred. You sow anger, you get anger. You sow behavior that is divided against your commitment to serving and loving God. And guess what? Anger evokes anger. Hatred evokes hatred. Frustration evokes frustration. The quality of your sowing is in direct proportion to the quality of the harvest you will reap. Are you divided in your sowing? Do you sow weeds and good seed? What kind of harvest do you produce as a result of that? What kind of harvest are you producing in your life? Are you happy with the harvest you're producing? Does it honor God and give glory to God? If not, bring it to the Lord. What do you want me to do? I've been praying Billy Graham's prayer since I saw the tribute to his life. Lord, make me who you want me to be and send me where you want me to go. What kind of harvest do you want to produce? Examine the seeds you're sowing. It's interesting. It's a little story that goes along with our topic today. I have a bird feeder and I put the seed in it, and it's been sitting there totally full. And I've noticed that the birds come and it's like they're checking out the seed, but they're like, no thanks. And they fly away. And I keep looking at the seed and I haven't taken action yet. And I'm convinced that the seed is bad. It's bad seed. I've had it up for about 2 months now, and I've had birds come and go, and they don't touch it. So I am committing to taking that bird feeder down and getting some fresh new seed to produce a better harvest of having the birds come and enjoy it. So what are the seeds that you're sowing in your life that are bad seeds? Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and help you to live more of a unified life in Christ, so you're not saying and doing one thing that doesn't give glory to God. The harvest of righteousness, the harvest is the result of sowing the seeds of the gospel message in the lives of the people around you. When James says that you will reap a harvest of righteousness, that means that you are sowing seeds of the gospel message. Are you sowing seeds to spread the gospel message? Because that's what this is all about. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. I will never leave you or forsake you, to spread the message, the gospel message, in the lives of people entrusted to your care who don't know Jesus. And as Mother Teresa says, let them see it by your actions, your words you use, your facial expressions, your intonation, your body language, so that they notice there's something different about that person. That's what drew me in when I was 17 years old. I saw it alive, hands and feet and words and facial expressions. And I said to myself, I want what you have. And that's what drew me in. Are you living a divided life, where people can't recognize Christ within you? It takes grace, and the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. It simply takes high noticing on our part and that welcoming in. Jesus, I know that if you don't show up today, things will not go well. I pray that prayer quite a bit. If you don't give me wisdom to guide the people entrusted to my care, I know I won't have anything. I'll have jack squat. If you show up, I know that they'll walk away inspired. So ask, seek, and knock so that you can be unified in Christ and step away from living a divided life against yourself. The harvest of righteousness. The harvest is the result of sowing the seeds of the gospel message in the lives of people entrusted to your care. It's the power of the message that saves, not the purity of the vessel. And I wrote this quote down by Charles Stanley because this speaks so true and it speaks volumes. Because look at the disciples and the people Jesus called. I often say, so you're saying I have a chance. and even Paul and people that called beyond that. We are not perfect people, just saying. But Christ died for us while we were still sinners. That's what's so awesome about this, right? It is the power of the message that saves, not the purity of the vessel. So you don't have to have your doctorate in scripture, or you don't have to like train up. You just have to love Jesus and say, use me today. And shazam, he will use you because he adores you. Did you know that? Jesus Christ of Nazareth adores you. And just as he went after those who had lost their way, who had spilled out of themselves and been hijacked by the world around them, so too today, he is coming after you. Are you ready? Open wide your hearts and receive the wisdom and the transformation he desires to place within you. Pause and reflect on the wisdom from God that invites you to be consistent, to be pure, peaceable, full of mercy, gentle and sincere, impartial, gentle and sincere. A house divided against itself will fall. Impartial means to treat all rivals or disputes equally fair and just. Jesus was huge on this. Don't just go for people of power and influence. Help the beggar, help the orphan, help the widow. Go for those people that don't have someone to help them. You be the hands and hearts of Christ and ask for the grace to do it. Ask the Holy Spirit, show me my give back project today. Who do you want me to help? There's someone out there, Lord, that has something that I have within me because of my relationship with you that you desire to give them. So give it to them through me. What threatens your relationship with God and your ability to stay on mission with him? Division. And Satan knows it. So stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery of a divided life. Our topic today, are you divided against yourself? Division flows from the flesh. Unity flows from the spirit. The Pharisees made the law more important than people. God did not intend for this to be the case. As Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for the people, not people for the Sabbath. The Pharisee actually accused Jesus for driving out demons with the demon. Why? Because they couldn't handle the fact that Jesus broke their rules for the sake of the people. And I'm going to end with this thought. The two rules that Jesus declared when he walked this earth that we are called to live by every single day, the two rules, love God, love people. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Are you divided against yourself today? invite the Holy Spirit to create unity again so that the words you speak are the words that God places in your mouth to speak. The places you go, the people you speak to, how you speak to them, flows directly from your connection to the heart of God. How do we make this possible? Moment to moment. Your practice between now and the next podcast is to simply pause between your activities during the day. Before jumping into a conversation, a meeting, an event, something for personal reasons, something for professional reasons, pause and ask God to make you who he wants you to be and to take you where he wants you to go. Ask for the unity in Christ so that you don't speak, you don't think, and you don't act without first consulting with the lover of your soul. That, my friends, is a definition of a unified life in Christ. And that's the remedy to being divided against yourself. Don't move. Don't touch, don't taste. Without first coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to say this? Lord, you know I want to do a good job with this. Help me to do a good job. What does that look like for me? Give me the strength to do a good job so that you're glorified. God desires to give you the desires of your heart. Help me to want what you want me to have so that your Holy Spirit guides what I ask for. Ask and you shall receive when you ask not to spend on your own pleasures, but on the glory of God, which the ramification of that is your profound peace that passes all human understanding, so that you don't rise and fall depending upon what's going on outside of you and living a divided life against yourself. Are you divided against yourself? Any house divided against itself will fall. And Jesus has provided the remedy. Follow me. Follow me. Give them heaven out there. There's enough of the other side going on. And I look forward to our next podcast. You can also join us on our Facebook page at Edge God In. Visit us at edgegodin.com. Get your one sheet so that you can capture learnings on this one, my friends, because this is a game changer on stepping away from living a divided life against yourself so that you can continue to experience, or perhaps for the first time, experience the freedom that Christ has died to give you. There's nothing like that feeling of authenticity. My words, my facial expressions, my behavior align with what I believe. And I believe in you, Lord. Show me the way. Enjoy your gift of life today.